It is now 7:03, and we will call to order the meeting of the Transportation Commission of the City of Alexandria for July 18th of 2018. I'd like to open up with a public comment period. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to make a statement? If so, please fill out the appropriate form, and you'll be recognized. Seeing no one interested in making such a statement, we'll close out the public comment period and move on to the approval of the minutes for both the May 16 and June 20 meeting. So does anyone have any changes that they would like to advance for the minutes for the May 16 meeting? And do we have any suggested changes for the minutes for the June 20th meeting?
And I would like to point out we're for the minutes we're using a little different format so that it's a little more succinct and to the point so that it's easier to read, but then it also it was taking a lot of staff time to type up the minutes as they were. So if you have any comments, please let us know. We're kind of trying out this new format.
So I actually do have one comment, because I think one of the problems with shortening stuff is that it leaves the public sort of unclear as to what exactly goes on. So if it's shortened in a way that it still captures the essence without it being just an assumption of knowledge, I think it would be okay.
And just to make sure, the video of the
right.
meeting and the audio
okay.
is made
it's
available.
Every
I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that right. that was the case.
So maybe that could be a reference then.
But it's a good point. But okay. the video, I think, helps put the context into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But if there's a need to maybe add slightly more information, I think the staff would be very.
No, I think saving time is a good idea. So okay. if maybe there was just a note there, if you want the full transcript of the meeting, reference the video,
okay.
would probably cover that then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So if there are no suggested changes for the minutes for the May 16th meeting, do I have a motion to accept as presented?
I'll accept. I'll take that one.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. We'll now consider the minutes for the June 20 meeting. Do we have a motion to accept that as presented?
Actually, I have a question first.
Yes, please.
So there were a couple updates presented. One of them was on Vision Zero, and the other was on the bike and ped plan. Are the updates going to be published somewhere? Because obviously we've got a very shortened version here. I provided a number of comments to Darren in terms of that. So is that going to be edited and published somewhere, or was that just for the next time you guys do the update?
Do you mean that, are you saying that your comments weren't reflected in the minutes?
Some of the comments reflected in the minutes, but the question is whether the document itself was changed.
No, the document itself was the docket item
okay.
that was in the. As far as the kind of biennial review, yes, we did change it to reflect your comments.
Okay. So then the second question then is, where does the public find these things?
It will be posted online.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my suggestion then would be in the minutes to note that they'll be published at some date in the future.
Sure.
Any other comments on the minutes for the June 20th meeting? Okay, do we have a motion to accept as presented?
Well, I'll make a motion to accept as amended.
But you said they were the document was not changed.
The minutes were changed.
Oh, the minutes. Okay, I misunderstood that.
Some of the changes, and you said that not all the
okay.
changes are reflected in the minutes, so that you would like us to provide an alternative for the other.
I just want to be sure that all of them got captured.
Yeah, the changes. Yes. the changes that we agreed upon were
okay.
changed in the actual.
And then the second.
Document. Right,
in the document itself.
It will be posted to the Complete Streets.
And then my second comment was just a note in the minutes that this will be available somewhere.
So was that reflected in the current, the version that was presented?
No, there's nothing to note that the...
Okay, but do you have his suggested changes then?
Yes.
Oh, perfect, then. Okay. Well, then, thank you for that. Do I have a motion to accept as modified, as discussed?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, second?
Second.
Well, favor of approval?
I'll abstain from that as well.
I'm sorry, we have now...
Two abstentions.
Four.
Were you...
Well, the question is how we'll ever be able to vote on these minutes, because we never had a quorum at the last meeting, and so if people are abstaining...
If someone would like to vote on them just for the sake of approving them, that would be helpful.
I'll vote for them, yeah.
Okay.
Great.
We have a quorum back. Thank you. So all in favor of approving them as modified based on our discussion this evening?
Aye.
Aye.
It passes. Thank you. Item number four would be the the commission updates. Does anyone have any updates to provide from their work?
I have one.
Subcommittee work?
It's kind of minor. The Landmark Van Doren Policy Advisory Group met on May the 24th. There weren't really any transportation-related issues discussed at the meeting. The multimodal bridge is still in progress. They're trying to react to what Norfolk Southern proposed. I think that'll take some time. There was, updates. We had a presentation on development economics, some of the developments that's happening with respect to Landmark Mall, and an analysis of sewer capacity improvements for the development and the plan. So, nothing really transportation related. But it was an interesting meeting. The presentation about development economics was cool, and that was pretty much it.
Yes.
I have from the Traffic and Parking Board three items. The first was that the Traffic and Parking Board approved no turn on red restrictions at three locations where bike lanes are nearby, so on South Pickett Street, North Van Doren Street, and on Cameron Station Boulevard, Pickett Street, and at Jamison Avenue. In addition to that, we also approved a request for the administrative procedure to allow the Director of Transportation and Environmental Services to install no turn on red restrictions without approval by the Traffic and Parking Board. So previously they always had to bring them forward. However, there is a slight hitch to that, which is if there is public comment, particularly of a negative quality to taking away a no turn on a red, there would be a public hearing for that, and it would be discussed at a Traffic and Parking Board, and then we would approve it. But otherwise, TNES will be able to move forward a bit more rapidly with installing no turns on red.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
In terms of folks saying, I don't want this, it's just like one person says, I don't want it? I mean, how does that...
Well, that was part of the discussion, and so it's probably going to need to be more than just one person. And one of the questions I raised was if we're doing this on because of safety, what is the complaint that's going to stop us from doing it? And so there was no clear answer on that, so we may have to deal with somebody's on a case-by-case basis. But on the time I've been on the traffic board, we've never said no.
I would just add that sometimes it's not that it wouldn't be ultimately approved based on safety. It's that if there are concerns for other reasons,
right,
it gives the community the opportunity to hear the board's reasoning for why they're supporting it.
And they could make some adjustments.
It still get approved.
They could make some adjustment in the traffic signal timing to mitigate some of the potential backup from not allowing the right turn on road. They also approved, which had been discussed at, with the Route 1 project, the Hawk Signal on Franklin and Alfred Street. So that should be getting installed in the near term, I guess, however long it takes to do concrete work and electricity to get that signal installed. And then finally, at the upcoming Traffic and Parking Board meeting on Monday, there will be a request to lower the speed limit on a portion of Route 1 from essentially Monroe Street to 4 Mile Run. And that could be a lively discussion. That's all I got.
Thank you. And I'll assume we have no information to share on that side of the table. We will find you a suitable activity to support.
Looking forward
soon.
To it.
Yes. Oscar.
Just real quick, I sent out an email. I'm sure folks haven't had a chance to read it from one of the local blogs on the whole Vision Zero deal going on in the region and specifically with us. So, I mean, hopefully folks have a chance to look at that. But I was hoping that we could do a little bit of a deeper dive, let's say in September, in terms of Vision Zero, where we are and what it looks like in terms of attaining some reasonable goals.
When we get to other business, I was prepared to sort of get a feeling on how to, the best approach to deal with that.
Thank you.
The particular issue. Okay. From the dashboard, just really two of the major items I'd like to report out on. The fare increase took place the past month. Minimal feedback from the user population. Also, Paul Abramson, who had been the board chair for 30 years?
No, he had been on the board for 32. I think he's only the chair.
Well, he was the chair, but he was on the board. Okay, he has left and was replaced by David Kaplan, who was an existing member of the board. So there has been some change there. But other than that, those are really two major points I'd like to share. Okay.
Chairman, a question. So the fare increase, what was that?
Oh, it was raised to $1.70.
Okay.
$5.75. Still below the WMATA $2 fare. And we were able to maintain the T.C. Williams program, and those are two areas that we heard feedback on through the public comment period.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that there was minimal feedback, but I'm just curious, what were some of the responses?
Oh, I don't know for sure. I wasn't able to make the last meeting because of my foot, but it just minimal feedback from their public inquiry staff got them, but I don't believe it was anything significant. I don't think people enjoy just paying more money. I think that's what it was. But considering the ridership and the small number of comments that came in, it was a small representation of the total user population. Yes?
If I remember correctly, the monthly pass also went up in cost, right, by about $5, I think?
Yes.
Will we be able to get any numbers on the effect of the fare increase on how many are bought? Will that be available?
I get that monthly. I can bring that with me the next time.
I think I'm curious. Maybe it'd be easily
to do the comparison. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Okay.
But the senior citizen fares went down in off-peak times. So that was the offset.
Okay.
And that was an element that came through multiple public outreach sessions. The user population felt very strong about that. So that was some of the decisions that the board had to grapple with.
Has there been any discussion to broaden the no fare charge for high school students to the private schools, or is it still just considered for TC Williams?
Well, right now we're just seeing how the program goes, but I think all options are really on the table.
It is being broadened this year to all private schools.
Good.
Beginning September.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The expectation is that the impact is going to be fairly minimal. The TC Williams or the TC Williams ridership has been fantastic. We've been seeing very, very high numbers. I don't know if we've shared that with the commission. We'd be happy to do that. The dashboard is really pleased with the numbers that we're seeing. Well over 1,000 a day on
wow.
Days. The expectation of the private school ridership is just that it's not the same.
During the summer months, it's not an active program, and
right.
Students will have the ability to buy the summer fare. That'll take them right through essentially to the beginning of the school season, and then it re-engages. I think that's the way I meant to answer your question.
Well, I know parking is going to become even more difficult at TC Williams, so I would expect that there might be an uptick in the people who are riding.
Yeah. Well, there were over 1,000 rides, if I recall the last data I looked at, per period. So it had increased significantly and maintained a very high level.
Good.
So, and again, the purpose being to bring people into this is a favorite mode of transportation, not just in school, but going forward throughout their.
Yes. Not knowing a lot about the program, I mean, is that to supplement you know, the regular Alexandria public schools program, you know, the yellow bus, you know, I mean, in terms of...
Well, it gives students the opportunity, if they don't have to go in at the regular time, that they have the dash option. And also for students that don't have the bus service provided to them based on the distance parameter.
Sure.
So between those two items, I suspect that's the bulk of who we're getting. But okay. We don't have the detailed ridership of entry point and exit point, or entry point in the school, but their entry point. But we're getting this population that I think does not have an alternative other than using the bus service that was in place, or hopefully bringing down the number of cars that would be doing drop-offs. Which adds to traffic congestion in the area. We all know it's not a simple matter in the T.C. Williams area.
When we did the walk audits at the elementary schools, one of the things we found was a lot of parents drove their kids to school because this bus schedule was too wacky for them. It was too early for the kids or too late for the kids, and so the parent felt like they needed to drive them. So this, it may not be true for elementary schools, but the kids, but you know, at the high school level, that would give them also that option of not having to fight. They could ride the bus, but it's not a good schedule for them.
Flexible schedules in the after-school activities, it really provides them with an option other than parents having to take them home or, again, putting more cars on the road. Okay, anything else for the commission updates? We'll move on to the 2018 LRP.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff would like to, first of all, thank our transportation commissioners for your input and all the work that you have put into the 2018 LRP update. And basically, the goals for this meeting in terms of the LRP would be to hold a public hearing and approve the 2018 transportation market. Just to go back and do an overview of the process that we have followed, during March, staff provided an overview of what the plan was, the process, and basically proposed a schedule to go to provide this input to City Council. In April, staff provided an overview of new projects and also current and new studies, and we reviewed the methodology to select projects or to rank projects. In May, staff and the Transportation Commissioners finalized the scores for each of the projects, and in June we were ready to actually approve the 2018 long-range plan. However, we didn't get to do that because of lack of quorum. So tonight we will like the Commission to approve the 2018 LRP. So I sent around the list of projects that we prioritized together, the list of studies, and also the developer contingent list of projects that you should also have printed in your packet. We discussed this during our meeting in May, and there was a small change between the May meeting and the June meeting because of, one inconsistency in how we rated one commissioner's, result. However, those changes did not result in drastic, changes in ranking. So basically, the high priority projects stay, more or less in the same order. You can see in this worksheet, you can compare the 2018 rank and 2018 rank revised, and you can see that there's minimal changes to how we prioritize all the projects. Again, thank you so much for all your input, and basically we ask the commission to approve the 2018 LRP prioritization as presented.
And I'll just speak to the revisions you had to make were because of my ranking.
Correct.
So when I sent him back my spreadsheet, I had sorted the list according to my ranking because I was using it as part of my thinking process. and I failed to put it back in its normal order. So when he was consolidating everyone's numbers, apparently I was the only person who did this, so when he was consolidating everyone's rankings, the ones that were for me didn't go into the right slots, and I caught that prior to June. But then, thank you for providing this update. I really appreciate it.
Any questions on the information that we have up on the screen before we move this to a vote?
Looks good.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the item as presented, we being the LRP for 2018?
I'll carry that motion.
Sorry, I just have a quick question. Do we need to open and close a public hearing for it?
Did you actually have it last time? I thought you.
No, we didn't.
Oh, you
we
did not. Okay.
Because we didn't have a quorum.
We didn't have a quorum. Right. Okay. Thank you for bringing that.
Plus, we didn't have any public there, but that was.
I will open up the public hearing then at this point for the 2018 Transportation Long Range Plan. If anyone would like to make a comment regarding the document that's in question, please come forward, register in the appropriate form. And since we hear no one interested in making such comment, we'll close the public hearing and move on to consideration of the 2018 Long Range Plan. And I'll ask again, just to make it official, we have a motion to approve as presented.
I'll carry that.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. So we're all good.
Thank you very much.
The next item on the agenda being the Route 1 South Affordable Housing Strategy.
And this is another project or item that was an action item and was brought to the Transportation Commission in June. However, you know, we couldn't advance on voting. So we have Jose Ayala, who is from Planning and Zoning, and he will be presenting several slides to set the tone of the plan and move forward.
Thank you, Ramiro. Good evening, Chairman, Commissioner. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present to you. A couple months ago, one of the staff presented a brief view in regards to the project that we are going to be talking about, Route 1 Affordable Housing Strategy. Since then, we have put a lot of more work with the community, as well as addressing some of the concerns the community had. When we think about Route 1, we think about people. We think about 215 families that currently live in the area, between the Heritage and the Old Town West. These folks depend completely reliable on affordable housing, and this strategy basically addresses the opportunity for them to continue living in this neighborhood. Along with that, we are also having some recommendations on different strategies to create an environment that is prone to this neighborhood. Instead of being a suburban-style neighborhood concentrated only on traffic, we are creating recommendations that will bring together the neighborhood on each side of Route 1, as well as connectivity throughout each one of the blocks that we are hoping to see development in the near future. As you can see here in this slide, it's a vision, or a rendering and a vision of what we would like to see in the future. This is seen from the south to the north on Route 1, in which presents the opportunity of enhancing heavily much humanized environment while maintaining the current traffic and connectivity throughout the neighborhood. It is an opportunity for social gathering. It's an opportunity to the community to gather together and enjoy a much better life and cohesive interconnectivity throughout the area. Go to the next one. As my co-worker mentioned the last time, we have engaged a very robust community engagement. Since January, we had find different ways to communicate with the community and hear their input in regards to the plan. We started with a simplicity of pop-ups. We basically met where they are, as well as community meeting, charrette week, videos. I mean, we name it. We did everything possible to make sure that we have we hear as much as possible from the community. We are right now, as you point out in the arrow, we are in the Transportation Commission. Last Friday, we submitted the revised draft for the community to see it and for us to receive hopefully more input from the community as well as all of you. And we are going to have several other meetings with the community as we move forward for the final plan commission and city council and hearings. And we're hopefully by the September we have an adoption for the strategy. Any questions so far? No? Rami?
So I will continue with the presentation. As you were briefed in past presentations, this plan has a very important chapter called Safety, Mobility, and Circulation, which tries to address the issues that Jose just mentioned, connectivity, mobility, increasing safety for pedestrians, for bicyclists. And so doing that and bringing these issues to the community, we've heard over and over what the issues were in terms of connectivity, mobility, and safety issues and problems. So with that said, staff worked together with the community, with several departments to identify different near-term improvements that could be done, of which we have already presented to this commission, but would like to highlight painted curb extensions to slow traffic down, leading pedestrian intervals of the LPI so that it could be easier for pedestrians or people in wheelchairs to cross the street, and several other improvements such as high visibility crosswalks and at-grade crossings. So in terms of mid and long-term vision for this plan and for this chapter specifically, we also, as staff, in conjunction with the community, found some improvements that could be done to widen the median in the future with some developer contributions, improve sidewalks in other areas that are high interest for or that could have had high impact for mobility, such as the Wilkes Park, that you can see in green. These are just representations of common streets as by called by the Complete Streets guidance. You can see that, as Jose said, the city is trying to improve how citizens could use this public space and how we could equitably bring back public space to not only people who pass by the city, but also the citizens themselves. These are some examples of how kind of streetscapes would look like, and ultimately, going back to that vision of connectivity and a more livable community, which I think these graphics are great for describing. So to finish off, the draft guiding principle for this chapter is to have safe streets for all, prioritizing people walking, biking, or using mobility assistance devices, people in wheelchairs, or people who have less ability to move around, consistent with the city's transportation master plan, Complete Streets design guidelines, and Vision Zero action plan. So with that, I will leave Jose explain the next steps and the feedback process that is going on.
Thank you so much. So as I mentioned, we released the revised draft with the comment that we received from the community from the first draft. So now the community has from July 13 all the way to August 17 to make other comments, and we're going to be listening more community feedback to make sure that we address those. On July 24 and the 9, we're going to have a draft roundtable. So basically, we are having another opportunity for the community to sit down with us and address any other concern they may have. Again, this is the opportunity. We're providing as much as possible opportunity for the community to address any concern they may have, and for us to make sure that we are moving forward in the direction that the community wants us to be. The final draft will be released on August 24. Comment from the 17 will be attached in the public hearing docket. A public can testify in person in public hearing. And August 24 is the we're hoping to be the final draft document. And again, these are basically feedback loops that we are all providing as we move forward. With that?
And so with that, we ask the commission to review and endorse the mobility, safety, and neighborhood connectivity principle and recommendations as part of the Route 1 South housing affordability strategy. If you have any questions before you go on.
Any questions or discussion? Yes, Casey.
I have one question on the memo. It's on the second page, the draft recommendations. Number five, which is redevelopment will implement an at-level crossing. I'm not quite sure I understand why that has to wait till redevelopment occurs. Is that because they're trying to align the sidewalks in some way? Because it seems to me that that could certainly be an easy short-term safety fix. And I meant to comment on that previously, but I don't understand why a raised crosswalk has to wait for redevelopment.
Actually, there are two steps on that process. The first one is the temporary. It basically, they're going to be a raised. The whole idea that we're trying to make sure that those two parts, those two pieces of the park are connected, as well as providing a way, engineered way that will slow down traffic. So the first one is basically a temporary solution that the city will pay for it, which basically will raise the table. That's not going to wait. I don't know exactly when that's going to come, but that's something that's going to be in the short term.
It's in the near term. It's actually on slide 36.
Yeah, I don't have those slides.
Yeah, either. So you can, this is the map of the short-term improvements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go over here on the slide, so the next
previous
one before.
One, yep.
Okay. So in here, you can see this is the near-term improvement.
So this is the Alfred Street one that's the near-term improvement.
Correct.
That's correct.
Yep. So that is the near-term.
Okay.
So basically, it's just an asphalt bump that will connect and that
yep.
now on the
no,
long term.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
I just misunderstood
yeah.
That. So thank you.
However, in the long, I just wanted to make sure that you, in the long term, when development occurs, then there will be required
yep.
for the developer
yep.
to create something much enhanced
yep.
and connection on
yep.
the park.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Help me out here. I want to make sure I'm not imagining things. When I believe this plan came before the Planning Commission a few months ago for a presentation. And the reason I say I believe is because I just don't remember the name of it being Housing Affordability Strategy. I thought it was Small Area Plan or something like that. Has the name changed?
No, it hasn't. It has been the same.
It's been the same.
Yeah.
It has been the
yeah.
same?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had it brought up in front of us under the current name.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just imagining. Is this, this is not going to have the status of a...
It may have colloquially been...
It's not going to have the status of a small area plan?
It is embedded in the small area plan of the Southwest, so basically it's an overlay on focus on those blocks that we're hoping to develop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
great.
It is.
Thank
Southwest you. Quadrant continue to be the small area plan for this area.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oscars.
One question. But first, let me say that I know that I went to a couple of the workshops, and they worked out really well. I mean, I think folks were engaged, and that was a really good process to get feedback from folks in the community. So I thought that worked out very well. One question I have is, where it says short-term improvements, and it says in the near term, that just gives me the willies. What does that mean? Just like your question, when is this happening? Like short-term stuff.
Well, some, if you go back to that map, mm-hmm. some of them are actually are
already
on their way. So the Hawk Signal that I just mentioned, that's the one that's on the map
mm-hmm.
that they showed. And they've already begun doing the curb cuts at Wilk Street for the second crosswalk. So they've already started engaging some of these short, near-term things, at least that I've observed just
mm-hmm.
riding around.
Yeah, and then the Hawk Signal, as Casey said, went already with to the Traffic and Parking Board for approval. So we are actively working on these now.
Right.
So
So, you know, near term, I mean, you know, usually when you have a study with near term, midterm, near term could be, you know, 0 to 2 years, or which, you know,
that's exactly
case,
what the plan says.
Yes, yeah.
It's 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
It just showcased the idea that we are listening to the community and we're working to address those issues in regards to basic pedestrian bicycle safety.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Wilkes is a good example. That intersection, whether you're a biker or a pedestrian, it's just...
Or even a car, for the matter.
Well, yeah.
They have a little protection.
I would highlight this is unique or special in that they're calling out these improvements that the city can do now, even though the underlying purpose of the strategy is to lay out a framework for private development to do something that will take time. So once they come in, the improvements that we're going to be able to see from the private development investment isn't likely to surface for 5, 10, and 15 years.
Oh, no, and I agree, and it is what it is, but I'm still concerned about seeing these near-term things happen, like, basically now.
Yep.
So if they're happening, that's great.
I had a question. It's not specific to the mobility section, but I don't think I was here when you provided the feedback on the Planning Commission meeting and what that's been like. And in reading through the plan, so much of it is dependent on the zoning changes. And I'm just wondering if you could speak a little to, like, what the conversation has been like with that body, and does it seem to be you're gaining the support you need from that entity as well?
I mean, for foremost, definitely it's ideal for maintaining and preserving the affordable housing. And we are basically, what we've been trying to achieve is finding the tools to maintain and preserve and continue having this housing in the area. The Planning Commission and all the meetings that we have been positive. I would say there's always concern, of course. There's concern about traffic, there's concern about density, but we have worked diligently to make sure that everything that we are addressing is address the concern of the community. Of course, there's always going to be people that prefer other way, but we're trying to have a gathering of the majority of people, you know, dictating which way they want to go, and everything has been so far positive. I think you can speak more about the Planning Commission follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, the Planning Commission hasn't been asked to act on it yet. That will come shortly before council does, but we have received work session kind of less formal updates, and then most recently the work session, which I wasn't able to attend actually, but I watched online. It's available as a recording if you want to check it out and see what kinds of questions the commission provided at that time. But in essence, the Planning Commission's job, much like this body's job up until endorsement or action, is to provide the constructive questions and comments. But I would say, I think it's safe to say that the Planning Commission heavily values staff's help and the community's help putting out the framework for better ways to provide affordable housing long term. And so we see our zoning ordinance and planning tools like these kinds of plans, whether they're called small area plans or something else, as key tools to leverage what the private sector will do with their land, with their property.
Along with that, if you want to know more in deep information about what the community have been saying, we have on the website, we have the spreadsheet, mm-hmm. in which basically all the comments or questions that they ask and how we address those are there on the website. Mm-hmm. There are about 200 of them. And we address and we try to achieve, and we added a lot of changes to the plan as we revise it to make sure that we address everything.
Thank you. That context is really helpful.
Yeah.
I have a question. Do you put the map back up? And this maybe was outside the scope of this. You know, it's focused on the affordable housing and as a neighborhood and making things more walkable. But to the west, south of the Beltway, like, is there any vision in terms of integrating, you know, when you go west of Franklin Street, Jefferson Street, and then, you know, you come to the bridge and the overpass and everything? I mean, there's a lot of retail south of there, too. There's a Planet Fitness. I mean, I'm just thinking about how that integrates. I know that's Fairfax County, but Any longer-term vision of how that's connected? Because right now it's just a concrete jungle. I know that's a thoroughfare. You've got lots of people from Fairfax County that, and beyond, points beyond, and driving through here. But if we want to make it a more walkable, a more, bikeable community, I'm just thinking longer-term how that feeds into this whole thing, too, from the south.
This is basically beyond our scope.
Okay.
However, we have a recommendation for city to start having conversation with BDO with the possibility to see how can that, from the intersection all the way to Franklin, how can we improve that area, especially at the intersection, how can we can make it smaller, the crossing time distance, so that way, but those are conversations that hasn't started, we're going to be exploring a test, we're going to be working on that. And we had that as a recommendation to explore that possibility. How we, can we improve the quality of the southern portion of the Franklin as well as the sand wall? What can we do with the sand wall to make it? The whole idea that we want to make sure that this is the southern portion entrance of the city. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that it is a beautiful entrance that feels like you are entering into the city, not that you're going through the highway to a little bit more highway. And once you hit later on, you feel that you're in the city. So. The hope is from Franklin on, you are in the city.
There's still some Alexandria property south of the Beltway along Route 1 with high-rise apartments that have gone through some redevelopment approvals over the past few years. And my recollection is we took a pretty close look at the bicycle routing from the Mount Vernon Trail up into the city, at least on the eastern side. So I think that's in pretty good shape.
It is.
I recall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Washington Street, yes. Yep. It's very connected, very nice.
Well, it's connected to the city boundary. The problem is that when you get into Fairfax, it sort of disappears. And in fact, there's no wayfinding or anything on that stretch. So if somebody gets on that, they wouldn't. I've watched people heading to Mount Vernon that way because they had no idea that you had to make a left-hand turn there to pick up the trail. So, yes, there is a connection there, but it's probably less than perfect by a few leaps.
And staff's aware that the scope of this project is it's a bit narrow and it tries to solve an issue of affordable housing, and with that, we're also trying to improve the surroundings. And so it's narrowing scope.
Yeah,
that's its nature.
But it is encouraging that you're talking to the PDOT. Is there also going to be discussion with Fairfax County?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, that might be at least an opportunity to appraise them of what's happening. And
any other discussion or questions? Okay. Well, our next step is to move this to endorsement. Do we have a motion to endorse the Route 1 Affordable Housing Strategy document as presented?
I'll make a motion to endorse the Affordable Housing Strategy and specifically the mobility, safety, and neighborhood connectivity principle recommendations as part of the Route 1 South Affordable Housing Strategy.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you.
Okay, we're now into other business, and this
Before we leave this, to kind of follow up to Oscar's question about the short-term, near-term, is there going to be an opportunity perhaps to update us on that map of the short-term improvements, say in October or something, to have an idea of where you've gotten on those items?
We weren't planning to. In this fall, we're going to be a little short staffed with Complete Streets planners. Christine is going to be on maternity leave. So if you have any specific questions, we could we could find the answer. But we're working internally right now on our communication between the planners and the actual implementers.
I'll start off with the item that I had tabled temporarily, and that was Oscar's suggestion for an update on the status of the Vision Zero project. And maybe you can just elaborate a bit more on what you were looking for so we have a clearer understanding of.
No, we talked a little bit, I guess, last time or time before on just like a basic list of what the city is doing. And there are some specific goals that the city is trying to accomplish. And I don't have the one list in front of me that I'll bring it today, but just to see what progress has been made on the short, particularly, again, on the short-term actions.
Okay. If I understand correctly, the city has, maybe not a group, is maybe either, but a person that's dedicated to Vision Zero, and that there is a website in the process of being developed to provide the most up-to-date information?
Yes.
Okay. Do we know when that's going to go live?
It's definitely in August, okay. Because her maternity leave starts in September. But if you look at the docket from June, we actually did provide an update on those items.
A written update.
Yeah, a written update on those. And just, you know, we will, it is in our action plan to provide the Transportation Commission annual reports on our progress on those items.
Because it is an important program for the city, and it's good for the commission to get information as to the status and progress, etc. But I just will throw out to the group, is if the website is updated and the information is made available, is it worth the commissioner's time at our monthly meetings to go over information that's available to be reviewed prior to the meeting? Or does everyone feel strongly that it should be a presentation here during the meeting?
I'd like the presentation.
Any other thoughts?
So,
I'd just like to make sure that we make best use of the commissioner's time during these meetings. Some meetings have a fairly heavy agenda. Yeah. Sometimes they're a bit lighter, but if there's value, then it's something.
Yeah,
that,
and, I mean, I'm not looking to have reports for the sake of having reports, and also taking time away from folks actually working. So I'm not looking for that either.
Jake,
I have a comment. Have you seen the dashboard yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's stuff like, you know, LPIs. They're supposed to be either identifying or implementing a bunch of LPIs. I had a question on the Route 1 project here, LPIs. One of those happening? I mean, to me, I see that short term. That's like tomorrow, because we shouldn't take a lot of work.
No, I mean, generally, when local transportation projects short term, like, you know, in regards to studies, generally it could be anywhere from 0 to 2 years, to 0 to 5 years. I mean, it doesn't mean in the next month.
Yeah, right. But for example, the LPI, I don't see it on the list here, and I'm just glancing at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? And there was like 10 either engineering or short-term things that were going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you throw it up on a website, great, I'll look at it. And I don't have any problem doing that. But the one that pops out of me is, you know, LPIs and high visibility crosswalks. And I think those are being done as part of the resurfacing, what have you. Okay, great, but at least identify those. You know, those are on the list, and these were done. So that's, and again, I'm really focused on the short-term things, because I think we need to do some short-term improvements.
Right, and you know, Commissioner Gonzalez, I would like to reiterate that we are also focused on the short-term items. You know, just because, you know, I can understand that, you know, there's a sense of urgency to get a lot of these short-term actions done, and we are working on it. For some of the recommendations, for example, LPIs, you know, they do take some back of the house time, mm-hmm. to identify which intersections, and then to look at the impacts on traffic and everything like that, and then they can be implemented. So a lot of that is going on right now, even though, you know, so even though you're not seeing them implemented right now, or you're not seeing them on a list, they're not being forgotten. And like I said, the Vision Zero Action Plan does call for a detailed annual report where you'll see the progress of those. So, you know, just because you're not getting monthly updates on specific recommendations,
yeah,
doesn't mean that work isn't going on. Now, if you do have specific questions on specific recommendations, you know, we're happy to give you an update as on those as much as we can. But I mean, honestly, from a staff time perspective,
right,
providing regular updates and presentations at every Transportation Commission meeting or every other meeting, it takes away from
right
resources to actually implement the changes that we all want to see.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, so we can strike a balance between that and monthly.
Yeah, if I could suggest that if a commissioner looks at the website and there's a question on whatever element is of interest to them, I think we have a very good communication channel from the commissioners right through to the city staff, that if there's a particular item that you'd like to focus on, I think that would enable them to do it on a micro level,
mm-hmm,
and we can cover it perhaps under the other business section. And this way we'll address it for the benefit of everyone, and what the data will produce or what the answer to the specific question might be. But my concern is that we maximize the use of our time, along with not having
correct
staff develop reports that are just, there may be a better use of staff time as well. So is everyone comfortable with that, that concept of looking at the site, and if there are specific questions, if you could give the staff a week's advance notice that they could prepare their response? Karen?
I was just going to add, I can't remember what we'd call it, but a lot of times in the packet there would be, it was other items of interest, it'd be a little blurred.
Information-wise.
Yeah, and then if there was something, we get that as part of the packet, and then when we'd come here, sometimes we would have questions, and sometimes we have just little blurbs, little updates, especially of some things that we know were interest, or there were some update.
So consent items or something?
Yes, actually, I was going to say that, but I was like, was that what they were called? And I found those really helpful when we get
mm-hmm
those, because sometimes it would just keep some things on my radar that I would check back, and it would inspire me to like, oh yeah, I should go check the website for that, I should read that, and it could even sometimes be as short as we put new things on the, we added new documents because there's been an update to this.
Well,
might
I was
going to
also ask the staff if they could send out to the commissioners when we know there's been a revision to the website.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, I don't go on it on a daily basis, or I'd be lying if I said I went on a weekly basis, but on a monthly basis, I will go on and look at the various cities' websites. But
sure,
for something like this, as important to the commission as it is, if there's an update to the Vision Zero website, if you could just send out a all commissioner, you know, message to us. This will enable us to focus on it. If we have a question, we can make sure that staff gets the question and it can be covered in a more abbreviated fashion, time-wise, that
mm-hmm
is. And this way, everyone will get the response.
If I could sort of modify that
suggestion
sure a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, the city sends out a monthly newsletter with things that are of interest. I think Vision Zero actually should have a blurb every month, and that could be a very appropriate place to notify the entire citizenry, plus us, that there's been an update to the website, because I think we need to get a component of Vision Zero is the education piece, and there are still a whole lot of people in the city who don't have a clue what Vision Zero is, or if they do, they just assume it's about bike lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really are missing an opportunity to communicate to the broader community, and so rather than just being us, and in that it doesn't have to be, oh my god, I've got to create all this stuff. So for instance, in just the last 6 weeks, you guys have added X number of feet of bike lanes, you've added X number of high visibility crosswalks throughout the city, but unless you drive, walk, or bike through that spot, you have no clue that that's been done. So we're missing an opportunity for the city to sort of be, you know, highlighting the work that's actually being done.
Mm-hmm.
There's an amazing amount of work, and I was up talking to Chris's staff the other day and said, you guys are doing so much stuff right now, I can't ride my bike around to find all of the stuff that you're doing. I mean, it's just happening. Every time I turn the corner, there seems to be something else, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
And so the
staff might like it that way.
Well, they might, because it might hold down some of the complaints, but even if you just generalize it, though. So my point is that I think there could be some effective communication just on Vision Zero that could also then communicate to the
community. Yeah, absolutely.
Like a good marketing plan for it. But do you have the ability to do that with whoever in the city is responsible for that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the city newsletter is the correct medium for that. You know, a lot of times we've been working with our social media person. You know, to put a, you know, because, I mean, honestly, like, you know, putting down high-vis crosswalks at 12 intersections doesn't really quite make the same level of interest. But putting it, you know, sending out a tweet or putting it on Facebook, you know, that would be more appropriate. So something like that, yeah.
I also think I was hearing in your kind of statement there's like two different types of communication. There's one that's highlighting the progress that's being done, but then there's the other that's like the general education piece.
Yep.
And I think maybe that's a different discussion to have about like what are all the ways that we're maximizing communicating what is Vision Zero and the safety elements versus like a different medium for, you know, the level of bike lanes or the different pieces within the plan we achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Related to your work that's ahead to prep for your full annual comprehensive update, which is December-ish, right?
I think it'll be more January.
It doesn't seem like the website today has actual plan status update stuff built in. There's the crash dashboard, and there's a lot of information on how the plan was developed and the plan itself. But what I think would be a good direction to go in is to conceive of how you're going to make that annual update look and have it have a web-compatible way to view it and for you to be able to update it easily. So not necessarily a sequence of PDFs that you link to every year, but like if it's going to be a table, kind of like, I mean, last month's consent item update was nice because it was a little sentence about a whole bunch of different measures that are being worked on right now. But I can see how it's onerous to develop that list of sentences because you're writing a little story and that takes time. And that might not be the staff's best use of time. But if you think ahead about how you're going to streamline crafting updates for specific things, particularly ones like Oscar mentioned that are numerical. Like, if there's going to be a goal set for a number of LPIs that will be installed, then all you really need is something where we can see what the current to-date number of LPIs is that are installed. And even if that's, ideally, that's something online that you could update more often than once a year, but at minimum, if it's once a year, it's still a very transparent way to see sequentially how progress is being achieved across all the different measures. So it's one of those things where I sympathize this. I'm very involved in the performance measures process for Arlington's Division of Transportation, and it's not actually that easy to, on a weekly basis, calculate how many lane feet of bicycle improvements you've done and make sure that you can put it on something, because staff don't have time for that when they're actually building the lane miles. But it is important for all of us in all of our different capacities to think ahead about how we can do those communications more efficiently so that you don't have to write treaties every month, but it's something that is accessible and easy for people to understand where things are.
Is everyone comfortable with that approach?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, if I could turn it back over to the staff for their updates in the other business section.
Thank you so much. Mr. Chairman, so the first item would be the Transportation Commission retreat. We had a discussion back in May, or it could even be in April, about, you know, doing a retreat sometime soon because we had so many new members and we needed to kind of like show what the responsibilities and actions of the commission are. And so we decided to move that to February because of the next two items in this agenda. We thought that September was a very crowded month, that there was a lot going on within the Transportation Commission meeting in September, but also other meetings. So we decided to move that to February of 2019. But because this is a very important retreat for us, I printed out a copy of the 2016 retreat, and you should have it in your packet. We, as staff, would highly recommend you to go through it and, you know, not familiarize with it, but just take a look to see what was presented in 2016. And so we would move on next year. Early next year to have that. The next item in the
and then the reason we chose February as opposed to January or November or something is because you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of new council members coming on board, and so it'll also be a good introduction to the Transportation Commission for that as well.
Go ahead, please.
I'm just wondering, so as a new member, who by the time we get to next February, that'll be a full year for me. I'm just wondering if in between, and I will go through this thoroughly, could we do, like, I don't know, something smaller? I know you're new as well, with maybe, like, the two of us and you and the chair. I don't know what the right mix would be, but just, like, a short maybe hour meeting or something to get a brief update and answer any questions that we might have.
We could probably, do something like that. Would you all be available if we did that, for example, from 6 to 7 before the next commission meeting?
I mean, I can make it up. Yeah.
You're asking new people?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
okay, well, so, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'll circle back to make sure that we have the capacity to.
And as you look through this, and for the members who have been through the last session as well, if there's something that you think might be beneficial to add in, if you could let us know. We do want to make this a meaningful experience. The first time I went through it, and I think I too was almost on the commission for a year before I went through my training, but what was presented here, I think, would be, if one were to read through it, it gives you a good sense of what was covered formally, so not to diminish the benefit of having some individual instruction and review, but if there's anything that you think that might be helpful in as we conduct business going forward that's not listed here, if you could please bring that to our attention. I'd like to make the best use of our time in February when we do have the meeting.
So the next item is the Alexander Transportation Plan joint GC and ATC board meeting. And so this event, we gave this announcement last meeting as well. We would like to coordinate the best date for the commission to have this joint meeting with the ATC. So. Would you be available on the 26th or the 27th? Is there something that we can decide here so that I can circle back to Dash? When is the best date for the meeting?
It's on the Wednesday and Thursday week after the next meeting.
Right.
Which one did you and I agree to go to?
We agreed to the stakeholder meeting. Specifically,
that's
the 29th. Yeah, right. That's like a subset of commissioners. But the 26th and 27th, we're all supposed to be there. Well, whichever one we pick.
Is there a preference for Wednesday, the 26th?
Thursday would be better.
And it's a full day.
No.
What
would
be
much like this?
It'd be like 2 hours.
I will have to check with you.
My understanding was it was a standard 2 hour meeting, but may go maybe a tad longer since the. It's a larger group, and we just naturally extend a bit longer, but I certainly hope it's not 4 hours.
And we would have our regular meeting the Wednesday before on the 19th?
That would be the plan, because we still have normal business,
right.
And the normal DASH meeting would be the 12th.
Okay.
However, if they move that to have this meeting and try to do double business, that's a possibility, but I think we're still scheduled for our meeting for the 12th. So the preference now is for Thursday the 27th. Is there anyone who would not be able to make the meeting on the 27th? Okay. And the second date will be the 26th by default? Okay. 27, 26.
27?
27,
right.
Is the
27, 26 being
yep.
This.
26 is the backup.
26.
The fallback date.
November 1st,
no, I said it seems to be that if they feel very strongly about one.
Yeah,
right.
I think I can make it. Okay. And let's just say, if it was 4 hours, what would be the earliest we would start?
It's good to know.
I don't know. Let me get back to you because I'm not organizing that.
Well, the DASH meeting starts at 5:30.
Okay.
And we have started at 5 when we have a heavy agenda.
So I would have a potential problem on the Thursday if it starts earlier than like 6 o'clock. So. Yeah. So Wednesday's wide open for me, but I do have a commitment in the district that goes through the afternoon until about 4:30 or 5. But then I have to get out of there and get here.
So there's consensus that the 26th works better.
Depending upon the start time.
Depending on the start time.
Right. And I'm not sure what your Thursday, Wednesday preference was
related
to.
Going to be out of town for work, but...
Well, okay. If you're going to be out of town, we want you to be here.
I'm going to be out of town myself, I just realized.
For both of the days, or...?
I'm going to be out all that weekend. I'm going to be out at the conference in San Francisco.
Okay.
So we're still okay for the 27th as the primary.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, and on the 27th...
You can't book at home for this conference?
There's no conflict starting for the 27th?
On the 26th, I have no time conflicts.
Oh, it's the 27th.
And it's the 27th, the Thursday, that I have I can't get here probably any earlier than 6 p.m.
So 26th with a 6 p.m. start. Or the 27th. I'm sorry, 27th.
27th with a 6
p.m.
start.
Let me correct that before I keep making this, propagating my error here. 27th with a 6 p.m. start. 26th.
Yeah, San Francisco.
If it has to be the date, then there's no restriction.
26th is not a restriction.
Right, but the primary, the preference would be having the primary date as the 27th.
Okay, sounds good. I will let you all know the times. Okay, thank you so much. And the next item is the stakeholder meeting, also for the Alexander Transit Vision Plan. And I already spoke to Melissa, and you're available to go.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure about Commissioner Brown.
I said I would go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, can you add me to that, please?
Excuse me?
Yeah. Can you add me to that as well? Or do you just
can we have more than two people designated?
Aliyah had also,
I also responded.
Specifically
okay.
responded
so
saying she was interested.
I was told two, at least one, or two. So let me check with and there was a preference for them to be planning commissioners. As well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a little double duty stuff happening.
Well, that sort of narrows
I don't think there's a restriction. Let me just check.
Okay.
And I will let you all know. So the next item in the agenda, you should have a flyer about the King Street Old Town Metro Access Improvement Project, which is starting sometime in September, September 10th, I believe. So this flyer looks like this. And basically the objective of this project is to improve mobility and pedestrian, bicycle, access to the metro station, and I have some, there's also some bullets of information that you have printed out. Some of the important issues are construction of phase one will begin on Monday, September 10th. There might be some affectations that take place in late August because of the preparation for the construction. The city has hired Fort Myer Construction for the project. The project will go on until winter of 2020, and the construction phase one would, be a total of 17 months. The project will not affect rail service, but separate Gumata lead platform rehabilitation project in the 2019 summer will affect rail service. And you're probably aware of the metro shutdown.
Is there any update on, I know that staff was coordinating with Metro to see if there were ways to use this awkward opportunity without the metro running to what's the word?
Accelerate,
thank you. Accelerate this project too. Has there been any forward motion on that?
I know the answer, it was the same question was posed for Potomac Yard.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was there was little likelihood that they would be able to accelerate the schedule or maximize the use of the time much more than they've already had planned because of the staging of the different activities. Although I don't know if that same applies here, but usually if the contract's active and a schedule has been initiated.
This is much more ripe in the sense that the Potomac Yard Metro, this is ready to go under construction. And then
but the schedule has already been put into place. Therein lies the, and any change order is usually a phenomenal amount of money from my experience in a capital project.
I don't know
But it would be a good idea if they can.
So if
it may take your leave for we'll have to change.
It's a very detailed website where you can also like multiple questions, and also Steve Sinian is the project manager. So if you have any questions, you can email him.
Great.
But feel free to email him directly.
Is there other maps and such that explain like what the bike?
So these are just the impacts and where the construction sites would be, and what streets would be affected.
I was curious specifically about the bike access, because I know this area is just, you know, it's a very congested area, a lot of bike, a lot of one ways and diagonals and buses coming through, and
so
people get very confused on how
to
bike it.
To build on that, and on this map, the blue line that goes across the construction site and then across Diagonal Road, is that intended to indicate it will be retained open? Okay.
So there's going to be a working connection. So that's why it states that there's no rail service affectations.
But what's really key there is that you can't cross King Street to Cameron Street.
Correct.
So you have to go
you
up
have
where
to go
they're
down
putting
the
that
danger
temporary
field.
Crosswalk in.
Yep.
Yep.
And cut across,
yes.
So like you
yep.
can't go through the metro station to yep. get to the cabbie station. That's over.
Well, you
on.
Could. Yes, you could. You'd be able to go through the metro station, so people
well,
could exit that from the north side of the station.
You know, the upper the north Fairgate area.
Right.
But if you're on the surface.
But if you're on the surface and you're heading like south,
you
can't cross Cameron to continue down to Carlisle, for instance, this is something that I would do.
Yes, that's my route now, I have to come up with a different route.
Yep.
And there's not a good way to bike that either.
Well, we actually talked to the project people, a couple folks from BPEC, and the problem is the best place to do a detour is all the way back at Monroe Street Braddock rather, and then to take West Street and look around, and some people aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep pushing their
that's
way through.
That's actually
this.
What I recommend people do when people ask and get confused.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we tried to map something out, but there was just no good easy detour that people would take.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen cyclists even like go experienced cyclists go the wrong way.
So
one way, because the Cameron is a one-way street, but then there's a bike path right there at the tip of the map, so people want to connect to that.
Right.
But it's very heavy pedestrian on the sidewalk, so I've seen cyclists.
Oh yeah, I bike on that sidewalk.
Yeah,
on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
not wrong way in the street, but
right.
on the sidewalk.
I do the same
to
thing.
Make that connection.
And it'll get complicated because they're moving the taxi cab stand over there.
Mm-hmm.
And also
so it'll get
one
worse.
Of the bus stops will be there. So
I was just trying to think of how this could.
Yeah,
also improve connections for bike, because you have Commonwealth has a great bike lane, Cameron has a bike lane in one direction, and then this nice bike path that connects the metro
and
stations,
Prince.
But there's no good
well,
way
this
to
map
get
definitely
to them.
Doesn't show us the final
mm-hmm.
project, like the final outcome
yeah.
is a better circulation
mm-hmm.
than this map. This is like construction
right,
time.
Right.
This but
is what
mm-hmm.
this is going to be an
interim.
Yes.
And just also to note that there's going to be a street change navigate the area as well.
Cool. Yeah, I think signage is going to be big here, like making sure that signs to tell you what way you're supposed to go are early enough that you make that choice and you don't
in advance.
Yeah, you don't end up stuck like people who end up stuck here. I'm saying here, like you can all see my map, but
right
at the edge of King Street, looking across the road and wishing they could go, might just cross the road where they're not supposed to. So.
Yep.
I've got a question about the schedule. Was this schedule put together before or after we learned that Metrorail south of the airport will be shut down all summer next year?
It seems like before. Because this
we didn't learn about
were
that
approved
like
by council in 2012, so the city has been working on this project for a while.
Yeah.
So we talked about this a long
and
time.
And we didn't hear from Metro about their shutdown until
March.
A month and a half ago.
Considering this area is going to be largely unused all summer next year, This schedule seems awfully leisurely to me.
But it's not going to be unused. That's the problem, is that you're going to have all the buses that are still going to be going through there, even if they're
along
not...
Along with shuttle buses, most likely.
Yeah, this is basically a bus terminal as well as a place where people get on and off to go to Metro. So that's the complication.
And we still don't know how they're going to resolve the Metro riders' needs,
exactly.
The Metro Rail riders' needs, and they might have to add buses to do that.
And I was going to follow up on what you're saying, that like, do we even know what the Metro work will entail in terms of physically where they're going to put construction equipment, all those kinds of things, because that's an issue.
They'll probably do it from the rail side.
They tend to, to have all the stuff up on the rails for
the
these closures.
Portion,
but
you know, was, well, at least the last time they did a major effort like this, it was on the track level.
Yeah.
It was probably minimal around the station.
It's all platform reconstruction.
That was the bulk of it,
right?
And this is mostly, as I understand, track and electric traction, which is still a track level.
No, but it's this platform work. The platform would have to be redone.
No, but I mean, it's all going to be a track level.
Yeah. But they still need to get stuff to the track.
What we're suggesting is they'll probably bring it by rail.
Yeah, most of it's out of the Landover facility.
Particularly since... the access at the ground level is going to be very
exactly.
minimal, right?
So let's hope they do it by rail.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question on bullet number 3? It says the city will be doing a number of complete street improvements in the vicinity, blah, 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 prior to construction. What are those, and have they been done?
I would have to get back to you on that one. I don't know if you are aware of the complete street improvement projects that we're seeing on bullet. There's one. It's actually related to the Cameron and Prince bike lanes. There's one block on I think Diagonal or Dangerfield. Yeah, Dangerfield that hasn't been implemented because they've been waiting for this project to happen because they're going to resurface Dangerfield afterwards.
After this is done?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is saying stuff is prior to construction starting.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry. Clear for that. Yeah, these are, those are more safety measures in relation to the construction. So, for example, to make sure that this crossing is adequate, that exists already, but I think it's upgrading a little bit. It sounds like it's related to the construction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then adding this mid-block crosswalk here, too.
Oh, that's there already.
So it's kind of like the bullet was intended to explain that there's a certain amount of work regarding maintenance of traffic during construction that the city is undertaking to make sure things can go. And that's why they're going to be in place before it starts.
Exactly.
Okay.
if we require for clarification, I would suggest that we contact Steve. He's a project manager.
Any other questions on this item?
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we would like to talk to you about the transportation master plan. As we had conversations with the Transportation Commission, the city is starting the update of the 2008 Transportation Master Plan, and we are proposing to do some changes, and we would like to hear your feedback on it. Some of the changes are, of substance in terms of chapters that will be added to the Transportation Master Plan, but also the framework that the staff wants to propose is to update the Transportation Master Plan with a Sustainable Urban Mobility Plan, or SUMP, which we don't know yet if we will call it that, but we wanted to get feedback from this commission to do so. So the reason being, transportation is more and more becoming a more static term that was historically used to describe infrastructure and vehicles and service provision for a traditional transportation network. Whereas mobility is becoming more and more technologically based. We are relying more on technology to connect not only physically between modes, but also to improve connectivity of fare payments, to improve how vehicles effectively or efficiently move people around, and also how cities regulate this type of technology. And staff thinks that moving towards a more urban mobility framework, we can acknowledge the future challenges that the city will basically take on while doing this update. So we want to continue to take a more holistic approach in terms of mobility, improving access, focus on people, include also infrastructure, but also technology, and improve regulation. We would like to support and incentivize environmental and social sustainability within this plan. And so we wanted to get your feedback on that. And just to give you a snapshot of what the changes that staff is thinking about implementing, I have a slide here that compares the contents of the 2008 TMP, Transportation Master Plan, and what staff is proposing for the 2018-2019 update. So you can see that we have the introduction, the vision and guiding principles in the overview. We have the same transit chapter, the same pedestrian and bicycle chapter that was updated in 2016. We have our streets chapter, a new chapter on parking and curbside management, which is becoming a more of an important issue. A new chapter on smart mobility, which would encompass a lot of the new topics of new mobility, such as mobility as a service, autonomous connected vehicles, regulation, and so on and so forth. The next chapter is also a new chapter, travel demand management, which staff decided to pull it out of a streets chapter and make it its own chapter, and also develop two appendices, one on tracking actions and strategies, a complete list of those, and also setting up a framework for updating the Transportation Master Plan and providing performance measurement. The color coding here, you can see phase one is anything that's in black. Phase two, and that phase one would be implemented 2018-2019. Phase two would be anything that is in blue, and that would get implemented in FY 2021. And phase three, and basically the chapter on smart mobility would be developed into phases. So we just wanted to ask commissioners if they have any thoughts, any feedback.
Can you go back to the previous slide?
Sure.
So one comment I would make, and it's been picked up in the Eco City one, I think in the Bike and Ped and Vision Zero is sort of the how we rank the way we get around. So it's the walking, the biking, it's the motor vehicle, or walking, biking, transit, motor vehicle.
The level of precedence.
Yeah.
Level hierarchy.
Yeah, and then the second thing that I would suggest would be the word safety is missing. And so it's the safe movement, the safely getting people to where they need to go, something along that line. But because I think that certainly based on feedback I'm seeing on some listservs, safety is still poo-pooed greatly by people who drive in cars because all they're concerned about is getting to where they need to get to in the time they need to get there. And so safety really just has to fly into everybody's face here.
Yeah. And I have to apologize. It is in the actual document,
okay,
but I did not include it.
Okay.
But yes, that's a great point.
Yeah.
It should not be like that.
It should definitely not be put on the sidelines because it's hard to argue with safety.
That's right. Thank you.
And can you go back to the next slide? Yep. One thing I would encourage staff to think about is how the shape of the plan, in terms of what you put into what chapters and what you call it, structures how we think about things. It could even structure how you hire for staff, because if you have a parking and curbside management team, it creates a framework around what you expect that team to do. I like that it's both. You could probably even ditch parking and just call it curbside management, because parking is an element of that.
Yeah, but then you have off-street parking.
That's true, you do. So I'm just saying, like, there are things here where how we couch it affects how we address it. Smart mobility as its own chapter strikes me initially as potentially problematic, because there are going to be elements of smart mobility, both in terms of technology and information management, that will affect parking and curbside management, that will relate to streets and streets management, transit, bike ped. So it's almost like this topic came up in the environmental action plan, like what are those concepts that overarch and that really touch all of the other pieces, and probably shouldn't be cordoned off on their own and treated separately, but instead integrated. So it's almost like your introduction, vision, and guiding principles, if you do that first, prioritize getting community input and staff and all a buy-in on that first, that might allow you to flesh out how the chapters really look and whether or not you need a separate chapter on smart mobility, or whether it's a thematic structural piece to all of the other chapters.
I think along those lines, sort of thinking about a thread that may go through, we discussed this a little bit when we were doing the rankings, but sort of how do we think about transportation equity throughout each of the different chapters, and where does that show up in the vision?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something to keep in mind. The other question I had, when you guys were thinking through sort of the decision about changing the name and kind of this movement, I'm curious, like, what other plans from different cities did you look at, or would you recommend? It's like, go check that one out. That's like a really good model that we should consider.
So LA City is a very comprehensive one. Long Beach is another that is very comprehensive. DC, we looked at DC's, you know, kind of like Move DC initiative. New York and Seattle. So kind of like how we got inspired of thinking about, you know, broader about mobility.
Do any of them have better acronyms?
Yeah.
I just think of some pumps.
Yeah.
And then it's like sewage.
Yeah.
I mean, and water where it doesn't belong.
Flooded basements.
And this is the type of feedback that we want to hear.
The words themselves are fine, but when you turn them into an acronym, it's...
That's a topic for the retreat.
Right.
Coming up,
good
the
acronyms.
The delivery of the message is important.
How do you handle intelligent transportation systems? Is that a separate category, or do you plan on including that throughout the different chapters? Oh, intelligent transportation systems.
So that's under smart mobility.
Oh, it's going to include that. Okay.
As currently conceived.
That's right. Yep. I was just going to say, no, this is a great idea. I think the fact that you're highlighting that you don't want to be static, because you can't be. I mean, that's a really good approach to think in those terms. There's so many things coming up that literally in 5 years, we're talking about very different things.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. We definitely want to start with that framework that incentivizes change in a way that is beneficial for the community and for the users.
Because, I mean, I think your whole effort here is as best as you can not to react to a lot of things, but, you know, and who has a magic crystal ball, but as long as you can attempt to forecast well or whatever, then that would be very helpful.
So are you really going to update all of the things that are black this fiscal year?
18 and 19. Yes,
fiscal year 19, which is, 18 to 19. And then the things in blue... Two years later?
2021, correct. Fiscal year 21. So our goal is to go to council for the phase one in November 2019.
next November.
Next November.
I just want to mention that based on like how long it took to do the Vision Zero action plan and how long it took to do the bike ped element update from 2016, which was quite, I think it was a very good process and it was very thorough. Is it reasonable to update 1, 2, 3, to create a whole new chapter, which is travel demand management, and to update, maybe we're not actually updating the bike ped one because it's so new. So it's really just streets and introduction vision guiding principles.
But there's still a reframing of the 89 that also needs to be done.
Yeah.
Well, I think even the bike ped one you have to dig into because there's going to be terminology used there that you want to excise out and embrace a new tech
terminology.
New vocabulary, yeah.
Yeah, so I just...
We're going to make it consistent.
Right. But you're not going to spend 18 months redoing the bike ped one because I think that's how long that project
took. Absolutely not. Yeah. It's already a very good plan.
Right.
So
so it's really two main chapters and then appendices, figuring out how to structure appendices.
Correct. And we do have a grant from PDOT.
Okay.
From Smart Scale.
So you'll have consulting support for these projects. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and the reason that it's broken into two phases is because we're receiving the grant funding in two phases.
Okay. So there'll be a pause, a breather,
and
the next part.
Councilman Chapman has a question.
Sorry. What I see in the 08 plan, Chapter 5, how is that going to be in terms of funding and implementation? I understand the implementation piece will probably be worked in, but how is the funding or the conversations about funding going to be kind of brought into what you update?
Oh, into the plan as a whole?
Okay.
Is that your
question? Yeah, that's my question.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, because one of the chapters that we see in the 2008 version, it's clear that it's funding, right? So we are going to look at it as a whole in the introduction, kind of like vision guiding principles. We haven't really fleshed it out, but we don't think that we need a funding chapter standalone.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that is that we, I mean, we're already very familiar with the grants that we apply for already. So, you know, if, let's say, the streets chapter calls for building a multimodal bridge, like, we're already working on those grant funding opportunities already. So it wouldn't really tell us anything new. It wouldn't really guide us anywhere we're not going already. So the current chapter on funding is the city will seek funding from Smart Scale, RSPD funds, federal funds, and so as Chris mentioned, we are very familiar with it. We're doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder. I was just going to say earlier, I think Casey raised a point about sort of when information is in different places, like how do we make sure people get directed to it? So I'm just wondering, as you guys are thinking through the revision, how might we think of, like, if you have questions about funding, here's where you would go to look at that, and there's already a list somewhere that's already documented that we're familiar with,
mm-hmm.
Just so it doesn't get lost for people who aren't tracking everywhere that we keep all these different pieces.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. I have that.
It's also true, I think, with the implementation. With the implementation piece, because I think in the bike ped plan now they have an implementation component in that. And so is that the intent, that you'll add that to the chapter, or would that make more sense to be an appendix that a person could go to and reference for when things will be implemented?
Initial discussions led us to think that it would be better to have it in each chapter as a subsection of the chapter, just because if you have it in an appendix, it could be, and none of this is decided yet,
right,
but it could be a little more daunting to look at a whole chapter of implementation rather than going to the last section of the, you know, smart mobility chapter and say, oh.
Wouldn't that apply, though, to actions and strategies then, too?
Well, we're doing both.
Yeah, because the actions and strategy is essentially just
it's
summary.
It's distilling
of the chapter.
Okay.
Of each chapter.
Yep. So you have a pull sheet
yep.
or sheets
yep.
that you can pull
yep.
where it's all
yep.
one place. Related to funding, but not exactly the same, in a few of these topic areas, transit for sure, parking and curbside management for sure, smart mobility for sure, possibly even travel demand management, there are the concept of pricing may come up, and that's a concept we don't do enough of, and it might start to speak to how does Alexandria think about the long-term funding sustainability of its transportation system. And it's not something that I would relegate to, like, we already are familiar with our grant sources, because we actually have to think creatively about doing things maybe differently than we ever have before for pricing. So I want to raise that as a concept that probably flows through a lot of the topics.
So do you mean pricing in terms of revenue generating, or pricing in terms of behavioral?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah, and that's a really good point, because that there's a tension, I would argue, the tension in parking space pricing is to respond to communities' desire to have parking as cheap as possible, or to respond to the need for tax revenue. And so you might hike the prices to get revenue, but you're not actually hiking them to improve the behavior influence of the parking pricing. But both of those factors, how they become revenue sources that help us with the sustainability of our programs and how they change behavior, are key. And that's why it'll be the ways we think about it are different for transit than they are for TDM, than they are for the smart mobility providers, or thinking about curbside management as a whole. I'm a big fan of the sort of hierarchy of users idea, mm-hmm. and making sure that we're prioritizing our curbside space for people and not parking cars. And so how you do that in an era where the technologies are changing, and yet you value that space. You don't necessarily have to make it free for anyone, but you want to be able to think about pricing as a way that the city is stating its priorities. So it could become a really interesting sub-theme along with the smart mobility concept.
I just question about process, being new to this. As you guys update each chapter, does that sort of come to the commission, or is it once all of the proposed phase one additions are made, then there's like a broader presentation of what the changes are to look like, or how does our feedback get incorporated into that?
At the very minimum, we would bring this for endorsement from the Transportation Commission. However, realistically, there would be several more touch points throughout, and we're still kind of figuring out what exactly that's going to look like. But the Transportation Commission will definitely be involved with that.
But just to clarify, it would probably make more sense for staff to bring the whole phase one to adoption by the Transportation Commission. But obviously, like Chris said, we would probably give you updates, and there would be opportunities for interaction. We're still working out. We don't know how that's going to work out, but we envision the Transportation Commission to be involved.
So you're thinking the same questions we are.
Yeah.
I was going to ask the transit portion of this. The vision, is that separate or distinct from DASH, or how does that?
So they're related.
Okay.
The transit vision plan will inform many or much of the content of this chapter. However, it will probably not be its entirety, because there's some issues of physical integration with Metro and with other lines that we need to look at.
And what's the timing on that? I mean, we'll look.
In the transit vision study?
Yeah.
So it started last spring, I believe.
So you should have.
So recently. Yeah, recently. Like this
past spring.
Yeah. And that is the reason why the transit chapter is into the second phase, so that the transit vision study can finalize and then inform.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm so happy that you have funding support to help update this document. This is a big deal. So that's great.
Do you guys have folks on board already, or are you going? Do you have to get people on board?
We're working through the procurement right now.
Yes.
It won't be for several months. We're at the kind of beginning of this, so that's why we're asking for input now.
Okay.
Just going back to Melissa's point so it doesn't get lost, I too am on board with the new language, but I think figuring out how you play with it so it's not sump is a good meeting.
It's the marketer in us.
I don't know if there's like another word that goes in there too.
Plum. Right, there you go.
How about plum? Plum
for urban mobility. There you go.
Write that one down.
Yes.
We knew we kept you around for something.
The synergy of this group and what we can do with us.
I think people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's a good note to end on, but I will say for the professional staff, anything else to cover? Okay. One last round for the commissioners? Okay.
A quick question, and maybe there was a development today on the potential strike with WMATA and contingency plans of the city. Does the city, has anyone heard, is there an update today? Or I know management and labor met, but it would create chaos.
Talks were good.
Talks were good?
Labor said they were pleased with the way the talks were.
Okay.
I've been in Denver for 3 days. So
okay. But does the city have a plan? Because I guess there was a strike, I don't know, 10 years ago, like for a day or something. But, I mean, I assume there's
some
kind
of a work stoppage not all that long ago, too. I think the strategy would be not to provide that much warning in order to have its maximum effect on the transportation, at least from my transportation experience. But we're hoping that the talks were positive and that they will come to a good conclusion. There is a maximum capacity that DASH can provide. I can say that very clearly.
Right.
And it won't be able to do the entire metro supplement within the city. Okay.
DRE is going to add more trains.
Right.
Yes. All those spares you have. All right, there'll be no meeting for the month of August, so the next meeting, scheduled meeting at least, will be September 19th. So before we place a vote to end, have a safe and enjoyable summer. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
And Chris, you'll send out a note if we're going to meet on the 19th before.
You right on?
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
My new character.
Yeah. Sorry.
Did you include it then?
Very cool.
I know that we started.
That would explain it. So she's like, oh, it'll be almost a whole year. I'm like,
thank
oh
you.
God, I'm like, it'd be well over two.
I didn't know there was a retreat.
So that would probably be helpful for me too. I thought.